Diary, May 1899. Kurrenbong, New South Wales, Australia. May 12th to 30th, 1899. Sunnyside, Kurrenbong. The Sabbath, the day which the Lord has sanctified and blessed, has come. We thank the Lord with heart and soul. As we welcome the Sabbath, all our family assemble in our little parlor and read and pray. We feel indeed that we have the Lord Jesus in our midst, saying, "Peace be unto you." Luke 24, verse 36. As we all unite in prayer, we realize more decidedly that we have the presence of God. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily my Sabbaths ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you." Exodus 31, verse 12, 13. It is the privilege of every soul who keeps the Sabbath to have this assurance of the sign that God accepts us and sanctifies us to Himself to do Him service. What is true sanctification? Obedience to the law of God. He who claims to be sanctified and is not receiving the sign of perfect obedience is not sanctified. He cannot possibly know that which the Lord invites him to know, true sanctification as distinguished from the spurious so-called sanctification. I spoke in the chapel, reading from Exodus 31, verse 12 to 18, and the entire chapter of Isaiah 58, explaining some in regard to the Sabbath. Then, after making some earnest appeals, I read important writing of testimony upon home religion and practical godliness. I then invited all those who wished to commence the service of God and to leave their life of sin to commence now to become Christians and engage in the warfare against the enemy in the place of warring against righteousness and truth, for they could not know what they were about. I then asked them to come to the front seats and thus show their purpose to turn from all their sinful pranks and no longer consent to be sport for the enemy. 25 came forward. We had a season of heartfelt seeking of the Lord. We could not have dismissed the congregation, for it had been pouring down rain. The Lord gave me the spirit of intercession. Sarah McInterfer accompanied me to Newcastle. We took the train for Hamilton, and this left us very near the mission home of Brother Starr. He himself was in Sydney. We partook of refreshments, and then took the train for Wall's End. We found Brother and Sister Haskell, Sister Wilson, and Sister Walker in a large establishment, once a clothing store, rented now for only 10 shillings per week. There were abundant rooms to accommodate a large business. These rooms had not been used for years and needed repairing very much. This was being done, and we thought it in the providence of God that this could be converted into a dwelling and the large sales room into a hall for meetings, all for 10 shillings. May 21st, 1899. We attended meeting Sabbath at Hamilton under the tent, which was still our meeting house. There was a good representation of Sabbath keepers. The Lord gave me freedom in speaking to the people. Brother Haskell spoke to the congregation in the forenoon, and my appointment was at 3 p.m. We had a social meeting. Many took part, and the presence of the Lord was with us. I read to them the 31st chapter of Exodus, dwelling especially upon the words spoken by Christ enshrouded in the billowy cloud, verse 12, to the close of the chapter. Elder Haskell spoke to an interested audience in the evening. This was wearisome, but he enjoyed the presentation of the truth. In the afternoon, Sunday, I had again much freedom in speaking, and I knew the Lord Jesus was in our midst to set home the words spoken. We see a large work to be done in Sydney. May the Lord open the way. The suburb of Wall's End is now to be worked. Elder Haskell is located in the most favorable position in that suburb. The week of prayer is an important period for the churches. May the Lord indict the petitions offered. Summer Hill, New South Wales. Sarah McInterfer accompanied me to Sydney. Elder Haskell was on the train. He came from Newcastle. We had an opportunity to just speak with him. He was going on to Sydney, while we stopped off at Summer Hill and were guests at Sister Tuxford's. In the evening, by invitation, I spoke to the nurses and helpers and those carrying the burdens of the institution. The Lord helped me to pray and to give them a short talk. Then I think all bore their testimony. It was a profitable meeting. I felt indeed that the Lord was hearing prayer coming up to Him, for we were in great need of wisdom and the rich current of grace from the source of all power. Oh, that the Lord will come and teach and lead and guide us by His Holy Spirit. Dr. Caro is doing a good work. Brother Richie and his wife are doing all they can. May the Lord bless them. I am burdened, as a cart beneath sheaves, to see and have to sense the great lack of facilities to carry forward the work. We are waiting for help from America. We have used every extra dollar to put into the work somewhere in the aggressive warfare going on in Sydney and in Newcastle. But especially, we have been forced to work in the Avondale tract of land to prepare school buildings to accommodate the teachers and the students who now number 125. The workers employed to do this work have to be accommodated with homes to stay in and preparations for boarding while erecting these buildings. The Lord is good. The Lord is gracious. He sees what we are doing, and He can work out His will and His purpose according to His own mind. The encouragement of donations from America we anxiously wait to receive. It does not seem to me to be a reality, and I think I feel more severely the results to our own commandment-keeping people than if it had not have been. Something urges itself upon me. Put not your dependence in man or the son of men, for they will disappoint your expectations. Can it be that there is to be selfishness in the appropriation of this means which will make it a curse to the cause? Will our people in America settle down and do nothing themselves? Summerhill, Sydney, New South Wales. I find myself comfortably resting in Sister Tuxford's pleasant room, but it pains me to see every space filled with little knick-knacks and pictures of faces. Oh, I wish it were not so. I wish it were otherwise. We had our season of prayer in the parlor, and the Lord was very nigh unto us. Elder Haskell spoke to the people at Summer Hill in the forenoon. A horse and carriage was hired for us, that we could attend the meeting 1.5 miles from Summer Hill, without my being under the necessity of riding in the train. I was surprised to see the house full at Summer Hill, and the Lord helped me to speak. I read Ephesians 1 and portions of the second chapter, and the Lord gave me words to speak to the interested listeners. I am thankful, so thankful, that the Lord manifests His power and His grace unto His commandment-keeping people. Many testimonies were born, and the Spirit of the Lord was in the meeting. A solemn sense of the presence of God was in the meeting. Summer Hill. Spoke in the church in blank. Sunday was raining, but there were more out to the service than I expected to see. After speaking most earnestly upon practical godliness and the preparation essential for the coming of the Son of Man in the clouds of heaven, I was much burdened because there was not that living out the faith in practicing the truth. I invited all who had been feeling their great need through the week of prayer to come forward, and we would ask the Lord to pardon our transgressions and forgive our sins and impute unto us His righteousness. Quite a number came forward, and we united with them in earnest prayer. The blessing of the Lord rested upon us. I felt the assurance of the Spirit of the Lord that He did accept our prayers offered up in faith. Summer Hill. Several of us rode out to Stratford and visited a location upon a side street, a beautiful location upon a hill. We saw only the desirability in the location, but the money donated, which we hoped soon to receive, must not be invested in any such grand buildings or expensive lands. The premier lived in this location, but as I beheld the grandeur, I said we could not expend means in any such buildings. Summer Hill. Last night I was in an assembly where many things were to be considered, and some very important matters were introduced. We were talking of different ways and plans, how we should understand, and how the institution should be arranged so as to meet the design of God. While we were speaking, one of dignified bearing, not finished.